Before the end of the year, expect to hear more about a list of large utility-scale solar farms proposed for across the state. Hawaiian Electric Company says it's close to signing agreements for 7 projects that would double its renewable energy production. Spokesman Peter Rozek sat down with us this week to talk about the company's green energy plans and the need for public input.
We're very excited about it. It's the largest single infusion of new renewable energy, assuming the Public Utilities Commission approves them. Largest single infusion at one time of new renewable energy generation. But more importantly, the prices are great. Some of the lowest prices we've ever seen. We can't say until the contracts are finalized, but believe me, the prices are good, which is very important because we don't take any profit or markup on whatever we pay for the energy is what gets passed to customers. So that's huge. And all of these projects have storage, which is really important because that means that the electricity that's generated at noon is available after the sun goes down from 5 to 9, which is when we really need to have more energy available. It's when we're always kind of often, you know, hot, muggy days, we're really just close to the margin. So this cheap electricity generated at noon will be available in the evening, and that's huge. The fact that it's the biggest infusion is more of a newspaper headline, but it is important for Maui and for Big Island. These will be the largest renewable energy projects, solar projects for both those islands.
Talk about the Big Island for a second, because, you know, we've had all this stuff happen with the lava.
Sure.
And Puna Geothermal Venture, and that was kind of our backup, right?
Exactly. That gave the Big Island, Hawaii Island, a big block of firm energy. They were very dependable, just like a conventional generator would be. And they're out of service. And as you know, they say they're coming back, but we don't know when. They've been very generous. They're keeping their employees on contract. They're doing all the right things, but we don't know when for sure they'll be back. So this, we went to the PUC. Since this happened in, you know, May or so, we went to the PUC and said, can we modify our request to try to get some more renewables for the Big Island? And they worked with us, and they were very good about, you know, promptly working with us. So we're able to change the request a little bit. And because, again, it's got storage, it's very much closer to firm capacity for us. So that's all good. And it's going to be a big change for those islands who are not used to seeing, large solar facilities.
Right. So let's talk about that for a second, because
sure,
here on Oahu, we have a number of these large utility scale solar farms.
Right.
They're ginormous.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, there's about 100, they're on 3 different locations, but there's about 110 megawatts coming in from what we used to call the NRG projects. There's Waipio Solar, which I think is 14 megawatts, and there's Westlock Solar on Navy Land, which is about 20. Those are all coming in. But these other new projects, and there'll be 3 of them with about 125 megawatts total, those will, you know, be substantial. They're large. The good news is they're quiet. They, you know, once they're installed, there's very little disruption. There's very little, there's no noise. There's no moving parts. But they are a big piece of the terrain, and they certainly become visible to people as they move around the islands.
Right. Particularly, let's say, in Waianae, where it's just just covers acres.
The project that's out there now called Waianae Solar enabled the farmer who owns the land to stay in business on the rest of his land because of the income that came from the Waianae Solar project. So it does support the community in a lot of ways. And speaking of which, one of the important things about these 7 projects is we have required something that many developers already did, but we're now requiring they go out to the community. They have to contact their local community, and they have to talk to those communities, and they have to get input from those communities before we can finalize the contract with them. And whatever comments people make will be sent to the Public Utilities Commission so they can understand that people do have concerns, even about a big solar farm in their neighborhood, and they want to know, you know, what the impact's going to be and so forth. And maybe they have some ideas that the developers can use to make it a little less of an intrusion. But we are very insistent now about community input.
Right, and I know, I think in Waianae we had the Kamaʻili Academy that was right up against them, and they were hoping for some buffer. I think they were able to retain some trees that, that had been in that community for a long time. So things like that, there was some give and take, I think.
Construction is always a nuisance one way or the other, even for something low impact like a solar farm. And we do think that that's one of the reasons we want the developers to talk to the community. So by the same token, when the community, when construction is underway and the community sees something they don't like, they'll know who to talk to.
And what about the ag component? Because I know that there were a number of sheep farmers that were looking to raise as many sheep as possible because they call them landscapers, right?
They
keep the grass down around those large solar installations.
Yeah, I think sheep and goats can, in some cases, depending on the construction and the lay of the land, can take advantage of that. Certainly around a wind farm, it's even more possible. You know, you don't want a lot of human beings traversing the area, but you can certainly turn the cattle or sheep or lamb or goats loose in that area.
What I was told was that they didn't like goats because they jumped on the panels.
Yeah, right. I remember that too. So, okay, goats don't apply. No goats need apply. But, and again, it depends on the goats will work around a wind farm because there's usually a fence around the base of the wind farm. But, yeah, I think for solar panels, goats are a little
feisty,
bit of a problem. But, you know, the developers are looking for ways to make these projects pencil out, and if agriculture makes sense and, you know, help the community and get a little income from that, they're going to do that.
Yeah, so, I think the idea with the lamb was that you could develop a whole industry around it where you provide the lamb to the restaurants.
Sure. You know, we all would like to see more agriculture on land here, and this land, while it's performing one great valuable use in generating electricity, if we can do something else with it, wow, all the better.
And I do have to ask, because I know this came up earlier, just even with the home panels, yeah, is the whole idea of recycling, because if these panels have a life cycle of, 20, 30 years, it's like, where are they going to go when they die? You know, we don't have enough land in the landfill.
Right. And that's going to be a problem across the country. And I think what will happen is you'll see some solutions as we get closer to the 20 or 30 year stretch. I don't think we're going to just stack them up someplace. I think some of the parts of them are probably recyclable. It's one of those things which the entire industry is going to have to deal with. And I'm confident that the technology will arise to make the maximum use of it. It's good to be concerned about it, but I think it's a little earlier. It's not a reason not to do it. It's just a reason to say we've got to be cognizant of the fact that these panels don't last forever and they need to be recycled in some way.
And then on the solar projects that are already in the pipeline, are they all in operational? I know that they were the former Sun Edison ones, but are they all good?
They're all good. Those three projects, 110 megawatts, are still in construction. They haven't been officially commissioned yet, but they will be. As I mentioned, YPO Solar is under construction. Westlock Solar is under construction. We have about 200 megawatts or so under construction. And so this 260 of the new seven projects is really a substantial boost, almost, you know, roughly doubling the amount of solar generation that we have. And so that's why we're very proud of it, frankly, and think it's a huge deal.
So when do you think you'll make the announcements? By the end of the year, you think?
We need to make them by the end of the year. One of the reasons that the rates are low is that there is a federal tax credit. You know, Congress may or may not extend those credits, but you got to go with the assumption that they won't. So you want to grab what you can grab while you can. So,
okay.
And then, you know, customarily, it's about a year, depending on the size, a year to year and a half between the time you sign the contract and the time the thing comes into service. And it's going to be harder in the future because, you know, some of the easy projects are gone and people are going to be more and more aware of these projects. But, you know, we think we have to do it. Climate change, you know, you talk about that half the time, and energy is a big, big component of that. So
we have this big push then on these renewables. Where are we at with coal? How far out are we before we kind of close out the
I think we're about 3 or 4 years before that contract comes to an end. I don't remember the exact time, but it's very close. And, you know, what will happen with that is I think, yet to be decided. But that contract is coming to an end, and it's not going to be renewed for coal.
Do we have to worry about any of these solar farms being in inundation zones?
Probably not. They're pretty much all kind of in central parts of the island. The other thing about that is, you know, over the course of this last year, we opened the Schofield Generating Station. It's the first, it can use biofuel or diesel, so it is renewable. But it's high up in the mountains, up above, you know, up on Schofield, which is increasingly, you know, renewables are important, but increasingly we're talking about resilience, about withstanding natural disasters and recovering from them quickly. And this will be, Schofield is the first major generator that's not on the coast. It's not down by the water. And even though Kahe and Waiau are built up on stilts and they're designed to take a certain amount of wave action and so forth, they're still on the ocean front. And in the long term, that's not a good, you know, not going to be a good thing. So we are very aware of the necessity to make sure that anything new we do is going to be resilient as well as renewable.
And that was Peter Rozag, the senior spokesman for the Hawaiian Electric Company. He also happens to be a member of HPR's Community Advisory Board.